You are listening to The Strategy Behind Branding Yourself, a podcast for those looking to tap into their passion, make an impact, and begin building a brand. My name is Precious Price, and I'll be your host. Thanks for joining. Kyle, what's good?
What's up, Precious? How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Nice. Well, first, thank you so much for coming on this episode. I'm really excited to share your experience, your lessons learned, everything with my listeners, because you are somebody that everybody needs to know.
I appreciate that.
Like, seriously, if you have not heard of Kyle Loom, you have to be living under a rock, to be quite honest. So just to give people a little bit of background into what you do, because honestly, you do a lot. As I was writing it out, I'm like, whoa, bro. Like, whoa. So first and foremost, ideas to App Store. Can you explain that for the listeners? Just give a quick rundown really quick.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Precious, so much for having me on the podcast. Super excited to do this, share with your audience what I do. And so Idea to App Store, essentially what it is a mobile app accelerator. I just started it this past December 2018. And the reason I started it is because I'm a software engineer and I built mobile apps on the side, personal apps for myself. Also worked on a couple other projects with different people. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I get the question of how do I build a mobile app? And, you know, it's a complex answer because it's not something I can just tell you in a single answer. It's a process. Mm-hmm. And so I saw an opportunity where I could actually share that process with people through a 3-month program called Idea to App Store Mobile App Accelerator, where I take people through 5 steps of building an app. So the first being market research, so knowing who your customer is, and then identifying what your minimum viable product is going to be. And essentially what your minimum viable product is the minimum feature set that your app will have. So not with all the features. Think about Instagram, but 10 years ago. So without stories, without all the extra stuff, without even DMing, right? So that would be your MVP. Mm-hmm. And then the second step of it is creating your design. So when it comes to mobile apps, it's very important to have an aesthetically pleasing mobile app, because those first impressions are really important. And it also helps you with, it really helps you with when you're coding to know what you're working towards. And so that's the second step of my program. Then the third step of it is creating your data model. And mm-hmm. so for those that are not technical, don't be scared by those words, data model. Essentially what it is just identifying where your data is coming from, whether it's user generated. And so like in the case of Instagram, and I keep using Instagram because everyone uses Instagram.
They do. They do.
In the case of Instagram, a lot of it is user generated. You know, people are uploading their own photos. So you identify whether or not, you know, the data that you're going to have in your app is either user generated or are you getting it from some external source? So that's the third step. The fourth step is implementation. And this is where most people often get afraid, because this is where we start coding and building your app. Mm-hmm. And for someone who's never coded before, I understand it can be intimidating. You know, everyone that is a software engineer or has built anything using code has started somewhere, and myself included. And so mm-hmm. what I do is I walk them through the basics of JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And so we learn like pretty much from square zero. I'm assuming you have no knowledge. And then we work our way up using React Native, which is a platform that allows you to build native iOS apps for iPhone and then native Android apps for Android phones. It allows you to write it in JavaScript. So you don't have to write one app in Swift, which is the language you use regularly for an iPhone app, and then so you don't have to learn Java for an Android. You can write it all using JavaScript. So that's mm-hmm. the fourth step. And then the last step is actually submitting it to the App Store. So when you submit stuff to the Google Play Store, when you submit mobile apps, they're generally pretty lenient about what is on there. And so I know that's why a lot of people try to play, you know, Android users saying like, you know, you have these low quality apps. But when it comes to iPhone or the Apple App Store, they're very strict on what can and can't be submitted. You have to, you know, reach their criteria and guidelines. So the last step is pretty much is educating my students on what can be submitted and what things that need to be put in place. So such as like, you know, a user agreement, if it's a social network, you know, the functionality to block another user. So that's pretty much my functionality in a nutshell. And it's a group program. And, you know, it's like the benefit of that is that people have an opportunity to actually work through this with other people. You know, they're not in it alone. And I walk you through step by step, holding your hand. So it's been really good so far.
Definitely. I mean, that's crazy. So just to clarify, this is for Idea to App Store is not just for someone who maybe have a little bit of experience with coding. It's for someone who you've never touched code a day in your life, and you can get started and put an app out on the App Store with Kyle.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Wow. That number one is amazing. Now, outside of that, I know you have Drakestagram, Over the Top, like all of this stuff, which we'll get into later within the episode. But what I really want to like drive home, especially with you just explaining Ideas to App Store, is you were fairly succinct with that. And that was a lot, that has a lot to do with you understanding your positioning, right?
Right. Yeah.
So with that, can you just like, what was the, when building your entire brand, because of course, like Ideas to App Store isn't your sole brand, like you are your brand, but when figuring out sort of Drakestagram and Ideas to App Store and Over the Top, what did you find to be the importance of positioning when building those brands?
Well, great question. So for me, like, I would say before even doing all of this stuff, I really was like unknowledgeable about branding. But what I did was I kind of peeped with other people, what other people were doing, you know, the social media influencers that I see online. And I kind of observed what they were doing. And, you know, there's this quote that says success leaves footprints. So I kind of like started seeing what they were doing. They would be providing value, right?
Yep.
And so they would like give you tidbits of information about what they do, about their expertise. And then, you know, once they provide that value, their audience is kind of locked in. And so I was like, what kind of value can I provide? And I know that, you know, software engineering and coding is a unique skill set. It's what I went to school for. It's what I do professionally. And so I was like, I can add value here because a lot of people want their own apps, because the importance of doing that is like, you know, it's an opportunity to have financial freedom. Like if your app blows up, you know, you're set for life. Essentially, you could either, you know, continue with the company and go public, or you can get acquired for a lot of money. That's what happens oftentimes. And so I wanted to position my brand around building mobile apps, but not just any mobile apps. I call myself creating dope technology for the culture.
And so
that's like the brand. That's like what I wanted people to associate with myself. And I'm still working on that. But in doing that, I was like, you know, what does the culture want? What does the culture need? And I was like, how can I credible? Because if people don't know who I am, you know, why would they believe me versus any other person on the street, right? That they don't know. And so that's kind of where the whole Drakestagram idea came about. And for those who don't know what Drakestagram is, essentially what it is a website that helps people with their Instagram captions. I know oftentimes you probably online on Instagram, people will put either they'll use the actual Drake lyric as their caption, or they'll just put caption or insert Drake quote. And so I saw, I was like, wow, even though it's a silly idea, I was like, the people need help. Let me help them out. And so what I did was I created this website called Drakestagram, where you could type in a keyword. And when I say a keyword, what I mean by that is pretty much something that describes your photo. So say you're in Miami, for example, and you want to create an Instagram photo with Miami, with the words Miami in it. So what you would do is go to www.drakestagram.com. You would type in Miami, and it will give you a list of all the instances where Drake has said Miami, and you can choose from there what you want. And so it was a silly idea, but I'm like, if I'm going to create this brand, creating dope technology for the culture, I have to, you know, do something for the culture. And so that's essentially what I did. And I launched Drakestagram on New Year's, and it went viral. No paid marketing. It went viral, and it has over 11,000 searches, and all this is like unpaid marketing in the like 3 months that it's been out. And so it's been really cool. And then also, like, you know, reaching out to people in the press, right? So that they can also write about it. Cause I figure if the people in my circle only know about it, it's only valuable to those people in my circle. So I was like, the world needs to see this. And I understand the importance of that brand. And so I reached out to some people, reached out to the chief editor at Afrotech, and he actually, you know, he got back to me. And within a couple of weeks, we had an article out. And so the positioning your brand is so important, and like understanding what it is you do has done so much for me. Like in the last couple of weeks, like I just get random DMs, people either talking about Drakestagram or asking about ideas to App Store solely off of these articles or blog posts. And another thing was, like, before I even had the Afrotech blog post, I was like, you know, if someone doesn't, like, I can't wait on someone to create the hype for me.
Exactly.
I had to create the hype for myself. And so one of the things I did, I created a Medium blog post right after I launched Drakestagram explaining, mm-hmm. you know, why I did it. And that actually, you know, that went over really well. And so that was kind of like the catalyst for like people talking about it, people sharing it, and it going viral. So creating that buzz for myself, and betting on myself has done me well.
Okay, perfect. So you just touched on like a number of topics that I really want to kind of pick apart one by one. So that first is that market research piece and understanding, number one, your positioning and your passion. So what industry do you want to play in? What do you want to do? How do you want to brand yourself? Because a primary issue that I see is people just saying, okay, I want to be big. I want to be an influencer. I want to be an entrepreneur. And they're just jumping into things just based on the fad or the hype around it all, rather than really sort of looking within their self and identifying, okay, this is not only what I like to do, but it's also what I'm good at and what others seek me out to do. Like you said, you had people reaching out to you asking about sort of building apps, asking about coding, asking about all of these types of things. So then you ended up building your brand on that. But that market research piece is so crucial, because then you understand, like you said, you have to figure out who's already playing within your field. What are they doing? And then it's literally just don't recreate the wheel. You have to get out here and then figure out, okay, what are people already doing? What are they doing well? And then what do I think that they are, maybe they can improve upon? But with that market research piece, like what was one of the primary sort of tools that you used to sort of find that market research and really figure out, okay, this is exactly the place that I want to play in? Like, I know you said you were working in tech, you were working as developer, you were creating all these apps in your free time. But even outside of that, for the person who may sort of not have that particular skill or feel like they, you know what, I don't even know what my skill is. I don't know my value. How do they identify that?
Now, that's a great question. And I think it really comes down to like knowing yourself, you know, thinking about the activities that you like. And so, for example, for me, like, I'm a software engineer, but I don't like coding just for the sake of coding. I like coding for the opportunity or for what I can build through coding. And because of that, like, I was like, I thought about the other activities I like doing. You know, I'm like, I like music, I like hip hop music. I like Drake, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I feel like I don't have to like just stick to just coding, right? I feel like I can, there's some kind of intersection. And so thinking about the different things that you like to do in your like daily life, and then thinking about where those intersect, right? Because everything, I feel like, you know, there's some intersection in like the activities that we do. And so I took a step back and I looked at that and I was like, okay, well, I'm doing these things and I'm like, why not make my own way? And of course, like, with something like Drakestagram, something like that had never been done before. And I could have easily just been like, okay, well, I can just stick with the status quo and do something else that's already been successful. But like I said, it was a silly idea and I did it and, you know, it blew up. So also another thing I would say is don't limit yourself to like only the big ideas. I think everything like deserves a chance. Like every idea that you have in terms of positioning yourself, everything deserves an idea, because if you don't play in the game, you know, you have no opportunity to even win. So
seriously, and it's really those silly ideas that pop off. Like when I think back and you can even say like your Ubers and your Airbnbs. Who would have thought that 10 years ago we'd be sleeping in the house of strangers? We'd be getting directly in the car with strangers. Yeah. Like, I can only imagine like trying to explain that concept to someone 10 years ago and them just looking at you crazy like, that's not going to work. Or they're skeptical, but it's really those ideas that are the most skeptical, the most off the wall, the most outside of the box that are going to help you build your brand. So moving into another part of what you've stated, you said something about reaching out and sort of getting your own press, betting on yourself. But then also, I feel like I heard something in there of you can build your brand or position yourself around other people's brand, right? Because it seems like that's what you've done as well, mm-hmm. like the Afrotex and reaching out and creating these articles around what you're doing. That is, in a way, building your brand on other people's already pre-established brand. Do you have anything to say on that?
No, I think that's so good. And like you brought up Afrotex. So Afrotex is a conference, but it's mm-hmm. it's under Blavity. And it's one of the sub-brands under the company Blavity. And Afrotex, it's a blog, it's a conference. And speaking on conferences, like, that's a great opportunity to meet people. That's actually how Precious and I met.
Yes,
met
yes. And then saw each other again at another conference, and I didn't recognize you.
Exactly. And so you meet so many solid people that are doing really dope things. And then you have that opportunity to network and collaborate, you know, do things like podcasts for you both to share your ideas with the world. And so like collaborative things like that, where you're increasing your brand, but you're also increasing the other person's brand. And like, so everyone can mm-hmm. eat, everybody can win. And finding people that align with your like mission and like that are kind of working in the space that you're working in, I find is very valuable. So for example, the Afrotex, you know, caters to minorities mm-hmm. of color, right? People of color, and specifically Black people of color, or Black people, that's Black people of color. But yeah, to Black people, also Black people in tech. And so I was like, with Drakestagram, like, this is literally right on brand here. And I'm like, it makes sense to reach out to Afrotex. I reached out to like the BuzzFeeds and like other people, but it aligned mainly with the Afrotex. So being able to, you know, reach out to them, it gives them exposure, right? It's like, okay, they're highlighting this really cool thing, drives traffic to their website, but it mm-hmm. also gives me exposure. Where people, like, they can hear my story, learn more about me, mm-hmm. and then follow me.
Definitely. And I love that piece because it's one of the, so there's a framework that I use with a few of my clients, and it's called Comp 360. So it's identifying who is playing in your space. And it's 360 because it's really mm-hmm. three tiers of your quote unquote competition. So it's those who are already doing what you do, and they're doing it a lot better than you are currently doing. And those are the people that you mm-hmm. have to emulate, right? You have to look at their actions and say, okay, what are you doing? And then how can I adapt what I want to do near what you're doing? And then it's those that are more so near to peer. Those like maybe you and I. So we collaborate. We're on the same level, and we're doing things within the same space, but it's not necessarily you're not a someone like who is the CEO of Afrotex right now. It wouldn't be outlandish to reach out to you to come and try and collaborate like this. So it's that first tier of actually finding people who you can emulate, then finding people that second tier who you can collaborate with, who are on your level. And then from there, that third tier is more finding people who maybe are starting within the space that you are currently in. So you may have a more established brand, but these are people who you can maybe mentor and support, and then really begin creating a community mm-hmm. around what you're doing. And that community piece is so important when positioning yourself.
It is.
Tell us about that, because you have a number of different communities between Drakestagram, Ideas to App, Over the Top, and the D9 Greeks app, which I want you to tell people about as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I really like your framework and how you work with your clients. And I just want to highlight that second mm-hmm. tier, though, how it's important to collaborate, because these people you're collaborating with, as you both, like, you know, continue collaborating, like, y'all are going to mm-hmm. advance and progress. So, you know, a year from now, you know, Precious, like, I already know the podcast is already going to be exponentially, like, 10 times, like, have 10 times more plays than it already does now. It's just going to exponentially grow, as well as the things that I'm doing, the things that other people that we're collaborating mm-hmm. with, our peers, right? And so once you get to that level, you know, the people that you like started with, you know, y'all all came up together. And so now it's like, you know, you have mm-hmm. this power yes. circle, right? And so the collaboration piece is really important. And then what was your
question? So it was specifically around how you can create competition when 360, and then you ended up mentioning mm-hmm. the near to peer. But as far as the original question, I could not tell you, Kyle.
I got you. And we can run with it though. And like, yeah, I have a lot to share.
No, so definitely.
We can run with it. And yeah. And so pretty much over the top, and I'll kind of mm-hmm. explain what that is. So over the top is something that my roommate Gabriel and I went to Georgia Tech together. It's something we started when we moved out to San Francisco, and we saw a lack of over the top experiences in the Bay. And by over the top, like, you know, different events, parties, but not just limited to parties, but just like events where we like curate in a really cool experience, bring people out, have people connect, you know. And so we saw an opportunity there, and so we started, you know, having different events. The first one we had was a St. Patrick's Day yacht party, and we were like, how do we even get a yacht? We looked up some places. We saw that they were renting them, and you know, we were like, all right, let's do this. And at first, it didn't start off as a business. It just started off as something that we wanted to do mm-hmm. for fun. But then we saw people started to come out, and then we would meet people, or not meet people, but we would be hanging out with like friends in different circles like a few months later. And they're like, yeah, we actually met at an over the top, or OTT as we mm-hmm. call it for short. They'll say we met in an OTT event. And so that's been like really cool to see. And because like people really have a good time at these events, they have the opportunity to share, tell their friends, and then they bring their friends to the next event. And it's just kind of like this whole like viral, like, marketing strategy. That's not even really a marketing strategy. It's just like, you know, when you do good stuff, people talk about it, they want to tell their friends. And I find in the stuff that we do in our brand and like the value that we provide, we have to make sure that it's stuff that, you know, people can actually get something from, and that they and that they're able to share with other people.
Mm-hmm. So we've said a lot here as far as everything that you're doing, all of the accomplishments that you made. I want you to give us a little bit of insight into what that timeline looks like, because there are people who think that brands are built overnight. And you and I probably know that's just not the case. Now, of course, you can pop off like overnight like that. Like Drakestagram popped off. But mm-hmm. it was a culmination of you planting those seeds. And within right. episode, I believe it was my episode 3 or 4, I talk about planting your brand seeds and really watering your brand garden. So to you, what does that mean? What was that timeline for you like when building your brand around all of these ideas that you have?
Wow. Like, I've been doing this for a while now, and it's like, you know, it seems I'm just starting to, like, you know, I guess pop mm-hmm. off, right? But I've been doing this for a while. So timeline wise, I can say, like, in high school, I never really coded. I had no experience. I knew I was interested in doing stuff with computers. So I went to Georgia Tech. I'm originally from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I was in state, and I studied computer engineering at first. And then I realized I didn't like the curriculum. And so I switched to computer science, and I had an internship there in 2014 at General Electric in like Salem, Virginia. It was an okay experience, but you know, I knew that's not something I wanted to do.
Salem?
And I knew like I want Salem, Virginia. Yeah, it's like Southwestern Virginia. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I knew it wasn't something I wanted to do. And I vowed after that I'm going to have an internship in the Bay Area after that. And so every year Georgia Tech has a career fair, and pretty much at these career fairs, you're selling yourself, you know, you're selling your experience, and you're pretty much saying, you know, this is what I do, give me a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all the big tech companies are out there, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, but they all had big lines. And with those, like, I know with those big companies, like, you get to the front of the line, they just tell you to apply online.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right. So I'm going to play it differently. So I see a company called Twilio, and I had never heard of the company before, or I had briefly heard of it,
mm-hmm.
but I looked it up and it had a shorter line. So I looked it up on my phone while I was in line, and I was able to like market myself when talking to the engineer. And he asked me, you know, did I have any personal projects? And I didn't have any personal projects at the time. And that's really important in like the software community.
Definitely.
And that's something I wish I had done more of, but I didn't, but I was able to spin it. And I think in terms of branding is important to, you know, say what you do. It's even if someone's not expecting it, but being able to like spin it in a positive light.
Yes.
So I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that is because it's not because I didn't have time to, it's not because I didn't want to work on these personal projects, but it's because I didn't have time to, because of my leadership activities. I was like heavily involved with our executive board with the Georgia Tech's NSBE chapter, National Society of Black Engineers. And like, I was different. And like, I leveraged that because a lot of the students that were in line, like they're like, you know, your average like computer nerds. And I'll admit I'm a nerd, but I also have this like, you know, I do other things outside of it. And so
outside of being a nerd.
outside of being a nerd, right? And so I was able to differentiate myself. And that got me an interview, and I got the job. And so I was able to intern there and also work there full time. And so like I've been hustling there, doing that. And then while I was doing that, I was like, you know, I feel like I can use these skills that I'm learning at work to actually do something on my own, right? Because, you know, if you're working for someone and they're paying you something, like you should know that you're worth more than what they're paying you,
oh,
right?
Of course.
In the end, they're making way more money off of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what business is. But mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, if I'm doing this for a company, I might as well be able to try to figure out how I can do this for myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I can get all the proceeds. And so that's when I started venturing into other projects. During my junior year of college, so I'm a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And after I crossed, became a member, I met someone that who knew people at Carnegie Mellon that was working on an app that connects people in Black Greek organizations. And that's kind of like my first experience even like building an app outside of work or outside of a school project. And so I had no experience, but they were looking for a technical co-founder. And so I'm like, sure, sign me up. I had just became a member. I was super stoked, you know? And so I'm like, this could be a good opportunity. So over the last 3 years, like, we pretty much hustled and we worked on, I worked on building this app and we created it. We launched an MVP of the app. It's called Kemet, a minimum viable product. It's in the app store. And what it does, it allows you to find Greeks in your area. So say you move to a new city or something like that, you don't know anyone. An easy way to get connected is to meet the people in your organization. Cause generally, you know, you have similar values and I'm sure y'all know mutual people. And so mm-hmm. it's just like the low hanging fruit of getting connected. And so we launched that, but actually recently we decided that, you know, it wasn't feasible. And so we actually dissolved it.
What?
And so, yeah, we dissolved it. And so now there's no more Kemet, but it was a great experience. Like the people I worked with were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot. And there's definitely skills that I can, like, you know,
transferable
move into that. Yeah, transferable skills. And so I've been at this for a long time. And, you know, I'm just now starting to see the fruit of my labor. But that doesn't mean, you know, slow down. That means, you know, keep the pedal on the gas.
Yes.
All gas, no brakes. And like, because it's a compound effect, you know, and like when people start to see you be consistent, you know, they start listening more.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I love that. Number one, I just want to say, I'm so upset that the app is gone because I was planning on downloading it. As a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, I have been looking for my sorors out here. And honestly, as you probably know, it's not too hard to find them here in Atlanta.
Right.
But outside of that, I really love how you mentioned the fact that you have to spin your story. So with positioning yourself, you have to understand that positioning is a part of strategizing who you are, whether it's your strategizing your business or strategizing your life. You have to know how to spin your story, because even furthermore, this is one of the concepts that I've touched on before in a previous episode as well, but you have to understand that everything is not going to necessarily feed your passion. Everything
right.
isn't going to be something that is like, I am completely aligned with my passion right now, but everything is going to serve your passion. You just have to figure out how to spin it and then pull those transferable skills from those experiences so that, like you said, you can begin creating a portfolio. You can begin building a story around your brand of who you are. Because even if you've been flipping burgers for the past 3 years and now you want to go into maybe building an app with Kyle, you can find transferable skills even within flipping burgers, such as working with people, communicating with others. You can spin that into a story to help build your brand. And that's really what it's all about, that positioning piece, but then also building out your community as well. That is positioning. Do you have any other aspects that you like you can add of how people can look at positioning themselves? So outside of spinning your story, outside of building your community, what else is positioning yourself?
So I would say positioning yourself. One good thing would be, I think even like starting a business, right? Like serving, like I know a lot of people, they, you know, they start off with, you know, doing a lot of spending their time doing a lot of like eBooks, and there's nothing wrong with that, but like to like get their brand up. Mm-hmm. But I know oftentimes, you know, being able to sell your brand, right? So sell your expertise. So for me, for example, I'm technically selling, you know, people building apps, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that, like, I mean, I have the biggest following on Instagram, but it's like, if you know, you know, right? It's like, if you know that I'm the plug for apps, then you know. And so oftentimes I find people getting caught up in the followers.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And like building a brand, of course, you know, it takes time to build your audience, but I find that people are so stuck about the followers, and, you know, oftentimes they'll get the bots and stuff like that, and they don't have an organic following. And people can tell that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's very easy. Exactly, because you'd be like, this person has, you know, 20K followers, but only like 100 likes on this photo, so something's up. Mm-hmm. And so, and the words of the wise Drake, worry about your followers, you need to get your dollars
there
up.
You go. There you
and
go.
So, and so I take that and I like internalize that. It resonates with me. And so like being able to serve people, but not just getting money, because like, you know, making money is nice, but when you're able to serve people and actually, you know, give them value, that really increases your brand. Like money is a byproduct of that. But at the end of the day, you're still helping people and you're still serving people.
Exactly. And what I like to tell people all the time is just figuring out ways to monetize what you already know. Like you already knew about apps. I already have lived and breathed branding. So it's just a matter of now monetizing the knowledge that you have within your head, putting it in a nicely packaged form and just sending it out to people. Because like you said earlier, even with those silly little ideas, even if you feel like you don't know a lot, think about the things that you just do throughout the day. What are you good at? And then from there, it's just packaging it and then deploying it out to others. Like one of my favorite quotes that someone told me is, it's very simple. Sold, not told. Sell what you know.
Like that.
Sell what you know. Like, of course, the free content is absolutely amazing. Like you said, you have to qualify yourself for all of these people. They have to know that you are credible. But once you have sort of created that credibility within your industry or within whatever field that you want to play in, now it's about selling. It's about monetizing all of that knowledge within your head. And that second piece that you touched on regarding the followers, man, I see that all the time on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere else. It's a lot of like people have tens of thousands of followers. And then I look and I'm like, you're only getting like 60 likes. And like you said, like, you're worried about all of these followers and they're nothing but fake bots. Like, and that's why I try to tell people so often is you cannot just go out and say, hey, I want to start branding myself. I want to have a business. And then you immediately go out and you create this Instagram. Yeah. You don't even know who the hell your audience is.
Exactly. What?
Like, get clear on, number one, your value and who you are. But number two, who wants to listen to what the hell you have to say?
Exactly. And yeah, so having that brand is like just so important. It's like, yeah, and being clear on who you're serving. Because, you know, if you don't know who you're serving, then it's not really going to be effective. And there's a saying I once heard. It says, the riches are in the niches. And so when you have, like, a niche audience, you know, like, this is what I do, right? Like, people know what you do. And because if you're a jack of all trades, that's nice and all. But, like, but when you're, like, an expert in one specific area, that really like changes the game. And then another thing is just like being like, whenever you go to these networking events, telling people what it is you do and like clear on that, right? Like, for example, I have it in my Instagram bio, and it's literally, I help people create mobile apps. And so, so it's like, if someone finds me and they know exactly what I do, so they're like, oh, I want to learn more about it. You know, even if it's just like, they're just exploring, I'm able to like get on a call with them and actually see how I can help them and if I can even help them.
Exactly. And I like that you mentioned the Instagram bio piece, because I also have like, it's something, again, doing your market research, I noticed that those who I wanted to be like, those who had businesses that I wanted to emulate, they had more of that sort of that concise statement of what they do within their bio. So now I have one as well, it, like similar to you. But I think that piece of being able to communicate who you are and what you do and why you're dope in a concise statement is so important. You can't take 5 to 10 minutes to tell people that, yeah, I help people with apps. That's all, that's it. That's all you had to say was you help people with apps. Like, that's it. But people, they go out and they just like, they ramble about everything that you do. And really, when you begin rambling, that in turn kind of help it, it makes you lose the sale, because now they're confused on what you do in the first place.
Exactly. And to add to that, I find oftentimes people don't want to be too self-promotional, and I understand that, but in the branding game, you have to, and if you can do it in a humble way, but like, I guess to sum it up in a like clear and concise way is like, you have to be confident. And so like, cocky and confidence are two different things, but like being confident, knowing that, you know, you do this, you help people get results, like that's very important, because there's a lot of mediocre people out there that are confident in themselves and they're killing it, but they're mediocre. And so I know if you're taking the steps for even like, you know, personal development and listening to this podcast right now, like I know you're not mediocre because you're taking the time to invest in yourself by listening to this. And so having that confidence in what you do is just so important, and it's transferable too. When people feel your confidence, it rubs off on them, and they're like, okay, this is someone I want to work with, or I want to listen to. Like, no one wants to follow someone that's not confident. And essentially what we're becoming are leaders, right? We're becoming leaders in our space, and we want people to follow us. They're following us because we're serving them. But if we're not confident on how we can serve them or if we can serve them, then, you know, it's not effective.
Definitely. And I love that piece, because it's more of a factor of understanding that if you don't believe in yourself, no one else is going to believe in you either.
Yeah. And I've encountered it, and I'm not sure if you have as well, but imposter syndrome, you know, especially starting the whole idea to app store, I was like, you know, can I really do this? And it wasn't really until like I got my first customers and I actually like, they're actually making progress on their apps, that I felt like, oh crap, I could actually do this, you know?
Oh, Kyle, you know, when we were sitting in that coffee shop, I have experienced imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, you think you can't do it, but literally the single most thing that like, what's holding you back is you. That's like the message that I really want to drive home is, you are standing in your own way. So move. Believe in yourself.
Exactly. I co-sign that message.
Perfect. So are there any sort of last minute tips on positioning and branding that you have for the listeners?
I think we pretty much covered everything, but just to reiterate on the important pieces, I just think it's just so important. And you touched on this, Precious, already, but to know who you're serving, right? Knowing your audience, because when you do that, you know what they want and you know what they need. And not being afraid to talk to those people and like find out what it is they want and what they need if you don't know what it is. So, so you can better serve them. So that's the big point I would want to drive home. And then consistency. It doesn't happen overnight, you know. It compounds over time. But once you start seeing that compound effect, it's like the whole game changes.
It changes. You start seeing the fruits of your labor. And it's amazing when you do. It takes time. So, Kyle, where can we find you on social media? How can we figure out more information about you and everything that you do?
Yeah, definitely. So, if you're interested, you can follow me on Instagram at calculus. I'll spell that out for you. It's like calculus. I told you I'm a big nerd. So it's at KYLE and then CULUS. So that's actually my Instagram and my Twitter handle. And then if you're interested in learning more about the idea of the App Store Mobile App Accelerator program, you can send me a DM, or you can also go to idea2app.io. And so that will take you to a form just kind of asking you different questions about your interest in learning how to build an app. And then I'll reach out to you from there. So those are the main ways to get in touch with me. And feel free to reach out to me. I answer every DM. I'm very open. So yeah, just shoot your shot.
Ah, yes, shoot your shot, slide in the DMs with Kyle. Kyle, I just want to say thank you again for coming on, sharing your experience, sharing your knowledge. I definitely feel like there are some keys, major, major keys,
Major.
specifically within this episode. So thank you.
No, I appreciate you for this opportunity, Precious, and I'm really happy to be here.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, I will see you.
See ya.
See ya. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast. If you love this episode, please go on your social media and share, subscribe, and review. Let me know you're listening by tagging me at Precious C Price. That's at PreciousCPrice. I can't wait to chat with you guys.